that the story of Hanukkah and the Hashmonaim is not referred to in Tanakh because it happened a long time after Tanakh was finished being written. All right, Tanakh was finished being written in the time of Shivatiyon when they first built the second base of Mikdash, and only 100 years later, the miracle of Hanukkah happened. But in fact, that's not true because Tanakh includes Nevuah, and Nevuah predicts the future. So even though obviously Tanakh was written a long time before the story of Hanukkah, that doesn't mean that the story of Hanukkah is not in Tanakh, because the Nevi'im, even 100 years earlier, clearly had could have, and in fact did, have insight into future events. So what I'd like to taina is that if you look at the Nevuos of building Bayis Sheni, then you will understand a lot more about the story of Hanukkah, and you will see how the Nevi'im who prophesied about building Bayis Sheni were actually talking about the story of Hanukkah. The two main Nevi'im who prophesied about the building of Bayis Sheni, it said the same for Ezra, the two main Nevi'im who urged people to build Bayis Sheni and gave them instructions, Malachi also had some Ha'oros, were Haggai and Zechariah. So I want to start, I zeroed through all of Sefer Haggai, and just a little part of Sefer Zechariah, because Zechariah is a little longer. But I want to start by just running through Sefer Haggai and seeing how it is relevant. Sefer Haggai, Shna Shtayim L'Nayom Shamelech, that's also where Sefer Zechariah starts, that, and they started building Beis HaMikdash. B'chodesh HaShishi B'yom Echad L'chodesh Hayah Devar, this was on... This would be Rosh Elul, Hayod Varshavi and Chagai, Noviels, Rubabel, and Shaltiel, Pax, Yudol, Yeshua, and Yotzadik, and Kohen, God, and Lemur. Okay, this is very important. The two main non-Novi characters when they built the second Beis HaMikdash are Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel, Pachas, and the governor of Yehuda. He was the descendant of David HaMelech, like the equivalent of the king of the Jewish people, except he wasn't a king, he was only governor, because there was still Meshuba, the Persian government. And Yoshua ben Yotzadek was the Kohen Gadol. So besides the Nevi'im, there was a governor, a political leader, and a Kohen Gadol. Ko'amar Hashem Tzokos Limor. Ha'amah ze amru lo eis bo eis beis Hashem libanos. Hashem says, what's the problem? People say it's not time yet to build the Beis HaMikdash. They think it's not time to build the Beis HaMikdash. Why do they think it's not time to build the Beis HaMikdash? After all, Korah said many years earlier, go build your Beis HaMikdash. And now Hashem said to Nevi'im to tell them again to build the Beis HaMikdash. Why do they think so? So let's see if we can figure out why. Hashem told them, is it time for you to sit in your paneled houses? But Hashem's house is still destroyed. Okay, that's a little muster. You know, you have houses. Why should you build a house for Hashem? But that clearly doesn't tell us yet why they thought, like, what was the real issue here? I mean, you give some muster. Why do you worry about your own house? Don't worry about Hashem's house. That's true in every generation. People sometimes worry about their gashmius more than their avodas Hashem. But why did they obviously had a svara that it wasn't time yet. They weren't stam lazy. What was their svara? So we have to call Hashem's coast. This is what Hashem says, pasuk hey, simul v'avchem adarchem. Pay attention to your ways. Zuratim harbe v'avei ma'at. You plant a lot and you harvest very little. You eat and you're not satisfied. You drink and you're not drunk. You wear clothes and you're not warm. Meaning they didn't have enough food, they didn't have enough drink, they didn't have enough clothing. Whoever makes money to a wallet with a hole in it. This is meant metaphorically. Meaning you can't make a parnasa. You have a terrible economic crisis. You have a terrible economic crisis in Yehuda. So Hashem says, pay attention to your ways. Now, of course, here we already have an inkling. Why would they say it's not time yet to build the Beis HaMikdash? Because they can't afford it. It's not time to build the Beis HaMikdash because, you know, maybe they did have houses, but they probably didn't have very good houses, right? Because they didn't have any money. If you don't have any money, how are you supposed to build the Beis HaMikdash? Not only that, you would imagine, if I'm the Navi, I tell you, why don't you build the Beis HaMikdash? You'll say, because I don't have any money. And I'll say, but Hashem wants you to build a Beis HaMikdash. What will you say? If Hashem wanted me to build a Beis HaMikdash,
he would have given me money.
What?
He would have given me money.
If Hashem wanted us to build a Beis HaMikdash, he would have made it easy. He would have made it convenient. He would have given us the resources. That's what everyone said to the Navi. How can you claim Hashem wants us to do big things? Hashem didn't give us the resources. He didn't make it easy for us. So what does he say to them? Pasuk Ches. Alua harva vesam etuv no of no bayis. Go to the mountain, get wood to build the vesam etuv. The eretz will be kavei vekavda amar Hashem, and then I'll be pleased with it and be honored. Panoel arbe v'neilum at. Now he says, what's going on? You look for a lot and you get a little. Back to the economic crisis. Vavesam bayis v'nafachti. And then you bring the little you harvest home and I blow it away. Yan menu Hashem. So, why are you poor? Why are you economically unsuccessful? Says Hashem. Yan beisi asher ucharei. Because my house is still destroyed. The atem rotzim ishlei so, because you have houses and I don't have a beis hamikdash. Al kein alechem kolusha mevitol. Therefore, because of you, the heavens stop giving their due. Va'aretz kala yivula. The land stop producing its produce. Ve'kar hor el aretz. And I bring drought to the land. Yal arim yal dugam yal toshim. Sorry, on the mountains and on the grain and on the wine and on the oil. Yalashim tzia d'man. Everything that grows on the ground. Yal adam yal oimad. On the people, the animals, al kol yagia kapayim and on all your work. What's Hashem saying? Here's the first yisod. The first yisod is, there's a chicken and egg problem here. What do the people say? The people say, we can't build a Beis HaMikdash because Hashem didn't give us the resources. Hashem should, wait, what are they saying? Let Hashem take the first step. When He gives us economic success, we'll use the money to build a Beis HaMikdash. What does Hashem say back to them? He doesn't say, I'm asking you to do something impossible. Meaning, it's not fair for you to say, Taka, I'm not going to give you anything and build a Beis HaMikdash anyway. That's not a reasonable thing. What does Hashem say? Hashem just says, I'm not taking the first step. You have to take the first step. As soon as you start building the Beis HaMikdash, right, then you won't be poor anymore. The reason you're poor is because you didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. You didn't take the first step. And this is the machlokas. People are saying, when Hashem gives us a sign, then we'll build him a Beis HaMikdash. And Haggai is saying that's not how it works. You have to take the first step. Hashem's not doing anything until He's going to keep cursing you until you start building Beis HaMikdash. So when you build Beis HaMikdash, we'll see later on in the Mefurish, then things will get better. So, what happens? Then we'll see that at the end of Perek Beis. Vayishma Agav, we already see here. We're like, this is very reminiscent of the Chanukah story. What happened in the Chanukah story? What sign did Hashem give them before they took the first step to make the revolt of Chanukah? What miracle did Hashem give them? What blessing did He give them before they took the first step? Trick question. In the Chanukah story, none. Hashem didn't do anything for them until they got persecuted and persecuted and persecuted and persecuted and persecuted until they took the first step. Once they took the first step, Hashem came through for them big time. Exactly like Haggai said. Okay. Vayishma, what happened in the stories? Zerubbabel and Shaltiel, Yeshua and Yotzadak, Akwein, Gadol, Bechol, Shirisa, Am, Bechol, Hashem, Ukehem, Zerubbabel and Yotzadak, and all the other people listened to Hashem. They were inspired by Haggai's message. V'yaldim Haggai Navi, they were by the words of Haggai, Kasher, Shalach, Hashem, Ukehem, like Hashem said. Vayirom, Hashem, they feared Hashem. Vayomer, so first they were inspired. Vayomer, Haggai, Malach, Hashem, Malachos, Hashem, Lam, Limor, Haggai the Malach said in the Shlichos of Hashem, saying, Ani etchem no Hashem, I'm with you. Right, this is also a very important point. Is Hashem with us or is He not with us? What would your conclusion be? If you lived at that time and you were a regular guy, you would say, we're persecuted, we're poor, we don't have food, we don't have clothing, we don't have anything, everything we do fails. Obviously Hashem's not with us. Remember, the issue isn't, not like nowadays, you're an atheist, you believe in God or not. That wasn't their issue at the time. The issue is, like, is God with us, or has God abandoned us, right? And they were believing Hashem's not with us. He hasn't, because He's not helping us at all. And Chaim is saying, well, Hashem is with you. Hashem's with you. Obviously, He's just waiting for you to take the first step. That's obviously relevant to the Chanukah, right? The whole point of Chanukah miracle is that Hashem was with us, right? The Nesfach Hashem shows that Hashem is with us. Okay. Vayar Hashem is Ruach Zerubbabel Shaltiel Pach Yudan. Hashem awakened the spirit of Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel, the governor of Judah, Yisroch, Hashem, and Sadak, HaKohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol, Yisroch, Kol Shiv Yisra'am, and the spirit of all the people, all the remains of the remnants of the people. They actually went and started doing work and building the Beis HaMikdash. She succeeded in the first stage. And when did they do that? On the 24th, right, the first game of the Moshe was on the first of Elul. On the 24th of Elul, right, Erev Slichos, they actually got the message and they started working. Great. Bashvi Be'esra Echol HaChodesh. And then on the 7th, on the 21st of Tishrei, which would be Hoshana Rabbah, Hayad Var Hashem B'yav Chagai Yinov Limor. Chagai got a second nevuah to them. Emor knows Rebbe Mishalti Apachs Yidov Yishov and Yitzadah Kroen Gadol. Yalshiris Ali Mortel, the same three addresses. Zerubbabel, the governor, Yoshua, the Kohen Gadol, and all the rest of the people.
Together?
Mivachem anishar asher ro'as habayis debech lo'dor rishon. Who is left who saw the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis Rishon in its kavod? What do you see now? It's like nothing in your eyes. Right? This is not Tanakh Haggai, but we all know the story of Sefer Ezra. When they started building the second Beis HaMikdash, what did the old people do who remember the first Beis HaMikdash? They cried. So there's nothing here at the first Beis HaMikdash. And what did they do? They went to the mountains and chopped a few trees, and a few poor people started building. And what did it look like? It looked like a hut, like a shack. And anyway, the first Beis HaMikdash, you remember the story, Shlomo Mel? First Beis HaMikdash, you got the gold from here and the cedars of Lebanon. Hey, the whole world, he basically got the best building materials from the entire world. It looked tremendously impressive. It was really one of the wonders of the ancient world, the first Beis HaMikdash. And here, they built a little shack out of wood that a few poor people got from the mountains. I mean, local wood from the mountains, not Arzei Levanon. Right? So he says, anyone who remembers the first Beis HaMikdash, what you're doing now is nothing. It's garnished. V'ata chazak. So here's really the second main message of Haggai. It looks like what you're doing is nothing compared to, what you're doing is so small compared to the real thing. What are you supposed to do with that? V'ata chazak Zerubbabel l'Hashem. Be strong, Zerubbabel. V'chazak Yeshua min Yitzodak v'nun Gadol. Be strong, Yeshua. V'chazak al Ama'aretz. Ama'aretz in Tanakh doesn't mean what it means in Chazal. Chazal is a pejorative expression. In Tanakh it means the leaders of the people. And all the leaders be strong. No, Hashem, va'asu and do it. Ki'ani etchem no Hashem, I'm with you. It doesn't matter if it's small, I'm with you. Es ha'davar shekrati etchem seiskem mitrayim, v'ruchi omedes zochem al tiro. The bris that I, the covenant that I made with you, when you left Mitzrayim, my spirit is still with you, don't be afraid. Meaning, don't think what you're doing is unimportant. Don't think you're a nobody, and who are you, and what can you do compared to the real thing? No, this is a continuation of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I took you out of Mitzrayim, that was the biggest thing. My spirit is still with you from Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're still in the middle of big historical events, and therefore he continues in Pasuk Vav, Ki chom Hashem tzvakos oda chas ma'adi. Then Hashem says, it's just one more step, a little time, very soon, v'ani mar'esh es ha'shamayim es ha'aretz. I will shake heavens and earth. Tzayam es ha'arva, sea and dry land. V'ir'ash es kol ha'yim, and I'll shake all the nations. Uvochem das kol ha'yim, and all the treasures of the nations will come to you. U'milesi es v'ayis ha'gazot, I'll fill this house with glory, amar Hashem tzvakot. Saying, now it looks very small. That's because you're taking the first step. You start very small, but don't be depressed and say it's nothing. Say, this is the first step, and I will shake heavens and earth. I will help you conquer all the goyim. I will get you all the treasures of the world, and you'll build a tremendous, glorious Beis HaMikdash. Liyat kesem liyazad, no Hashem's goshem. All the gold and silver is mine. Don't worry, I'll get it to you. Gadol yeh kvod ha'bayis ha'achon rishon. The glory of the Beis HaMikdash will be greater than Beis Rishon. Amar Hashem tzvakos. And you will have peace. Hashem says, you will have a Bayis Sheni that's greater than Bayis Rishon. Right? Now, the truth is, in the end, if you compare Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash to Herod's Beis HaMikdash, you know, Herod's Beis HaMikdash was more impressive, just architecturally. And of course, if you compare just spiritually, the second Beis HaMikdash to the first Beis HaMikdash, what's interesting is that what do we still have from the first Beis HaMikdash that's part of our lives? Nothing. Right? Do we have anything from the first Beis HaMikdash that's still part of our lives? Not really.
The top of the pillar on the five tribes.
Okay. I think that still counts as no. The second Beis HaMikdash, we have Hanukkah every year. It's amazing. Like, we still have Hanukkah every year from the second Beis HaMikdash. Like, the color of the second Beis HaMikdash is not only architecturally, it's still in our lives. L'dor is greater than the first. Okay, let's continue. Now, here's an interesting thing. Hashem says he's going to hirashti literally means rash, a noise. Like, when I say shake, it's like a rash means an earthquake in Tanakh. Right? He's going to make heavens and earth quake. He's going to make heavens and earth tremble and make all the goyim quake. Interesting. When did he do this? When did Hashem fulfill this nevuah? In the lifetime of Haggai, did he see his nevuah fulfilled? Did Hashem shake heavens and earth? Did Hashem make them conquer all the goyim and give them gold and silver? No, absolutely not. They stay poor, they stay downtrodden, they stay governed, you know, a province with a governor. Shkai was a province with a Jewish governor, right? The king of Persia gave the Jewish province a Jewish governor, which was very, very nice to the Jews. It was a big, big victory. But, I mean, Zelozet, it's not Ula, right? And it stayed just a very, very modest, I mean, we don't have pictures, you know, just artists, like, recreate it. But it's a very modest, unimpressive building, which is fine, it's the Hashem kiratz what's in our hearts. But ultimately, you wouldn't call that kavod. Meaning, when push comes to shove, Hashem kiratz what's in our hearts more than how fancy our building is. But that's not the nevuah of Haggai. It stayed small. When did Hashem shake heavens and earth and shake and make an earthquake under the nations and make us conquer other nations? What? The next time after Haggai was Hanukkah. That never happened till the time of the Chashmonaim. Meaning, Haggai prophesied. Now, okay. When Haggai, obviously, his kavana is that he was being misnabe, he was prophesying about what would happen to Odmat next year, in 2 years. Right? But not all Nevi'im know when their prophecy will come true, right? Like everyone knows. Read the article of Yechezkel. Yechezkel described what the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi would look like. Yechezkel didn't think he was describing Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. He thought he was describing Beis HaMikdash HaSheni. But we were in Zocha, we didn't live up to what Hashem wanted from us. So, the punishment was that it didn't come true in Beis HaSheni, and it was Nidche, it was pushed off. We have to wait until Beis HaShlishi. Chaya was talking about what happened next year. But apparently, people didn't live up to it. They weren't dedicated enough. They were inspired for a month by his nevuah. And they were inspired a little more, we'll see. But obviously, they weren't dedicated enough. Chagai's nevuahs didn't come true until Hanukkah. In the time of Hanukkah, the covenant of the Bais Ha'akron was a tremendous covenant, greater than the Rishon. They conquered their enemies, and Hashem literally, he shook heavens and earth. I mean, it was a big deal to beat the Greek army at the time.
We didn't plunder them, though.
What?
It wasn't
in the exact story of Hanukkah, we didn't plunder our enemies, but in the Malchus of Hashmonaim, right, the dynasty of Hashmonaim, in the next generation or two, as they got bigger and bigger and bigger, sure, they conquered lots of countries. They were very, very powerful, the Hashmonaim. No, in the story with the oil burning for 8 days, they just managed to get their own country back. But from then, they got bigger and bigger, and the Hashmonaim conquered a lot of countries. Okay, let's continue. We are up to Perek Beis Pasuk Yud. The Esra of Abar Lachi Vishnashnaim Ludayovish. On the 24th, what's the Chi?
Kislev.
24th of Kislev, right? As we're like setting up our Chanukiyot, right? Erev Chanukah. On Erev Chanukah, Hashem gave the last Nevuah, the last day of Nevuah to Daryavish. In the second year of Daryavish, who was the king of Persia, Hashem gave the last day he gave the Nevuah to Haggai. Hayad Hashem yet Haggai Navi Lingmor. Koam Hashem so called Sha'amas run into Rally Mor. Now he asked a difficult question. They had a totally new theme in Haggai. He said, ask the Kohanim a Torah halachic shayla. Meaning this halachic shayla. Ask the Kohanim halachic shayla in those days, like it says in the Chumash, Yoram Shmatam Yaakov, the Kohanim were also in those days. So they were the experts in halacha, so especially in Tumah V'Tara. It says, ask the Kohanim a halachic shayla. Now, I know that there's a whole anyone who learns psachim. No, skipped the sugya at the end of the first parak, where they have a whole diyum based on these psachim as to Reviva Kodesh and all kinds of very, very, very complicated in Yonim. We're going to stick to Pshuto Shel Mikra, just to try and understand what Haggai is saying in the simplest sense. What was the shayla for the Kohanim? Hein yisa ishus ar kodesh b'chnaf b'gdo. If a person carries kutchim meat, right, meat of karbonos, the sar kodesh, in the corner of his garment, right, most people didn't have pockets then. When you want to carry something, you put it in the corner of your garment, and then you just folded it over. Maybe you pinned it. So, meaning, we'll call it a pocket. You're carrying kutchim meat in your pocket. What does it say in the Torah about kutchim meat? Right? Kol hanogeya, it says a few about menachos and about zvachim, kol hanogeya bo yikdash. Whatever touches the kutchim becomes kadosh. Right? That's one of the places we learn tam ke'ikr, right? If the kutchim meat touches something else, then the tam of the kutchim goes into something else, and it also becomes kodesh. Right? And they all knew that, because the pasuk in the Torah, right? Meaning, in the time of Haggai, the Kohanim, the Torah was like the baseline. They knew what it says in the Chumash. It says in the Chumash, whatever touches kodesh becomes kodesh. What else does it say in the Chumash? That whatever touches Tameh becomes Tameh, right? So he's asking a contrast. Heinisa ish v'sar kodesh v'chanaf v'gdo. The gavich nafo, and he touches with his pocket, meaning not, it, right, seems like maybe not even with the bread, or maybe with the bread, either with the bread or his pocket, el lechem, yel nazir, yel yayin, yel shemen, yel kol machal. He touches bread and stew and wine and oil and any other foods. Hayik dosh. Meaning, the kachemi touches one thing, which touches another thing, which touches another thing, touches another thing, etc. Does the kedusha spread? Does it all become kodesh? And what did they answer? No, it doesn't all become Kodesh. It's one thing, Tamke Iker, or Bliya is one thing, but the Kodesh doesn't just spread from thing to thing. Okay. What if it's not Kodesh? What if it's Tuma? Right? What if someone who's Tatvei Nefesh, when you talk about your dead body, touches all these things? Does the Tuma spread? Right? From thing you touch to touch, Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, etc. It is Tuma. Meaning, what's he saying to them? He's saying to them an interesting Musa. You know, it's luckily true, but I don't think his main point is not the technical law of the Kachem Ataros. His main point that this is a metaphor for Musser about, like, the deeper union of Kachem Ataros. That the Tuma spreads very easily. The Kachem doesn't spread very easily. Right, if you have Kodesh here and Tuma here, and they're all, like, indirectly touching each other, who's going to win? The Tuma's going to win. The Kedusha's not going to spread. The Tuma's going to spread. Basically, if you have Kedusha against Tuma, the Tumah is going to overpower and ruin the Kedusha. Okay, what did that have to do with anything? Let's see. Right, meaning clearly he wasn't just giving a regular shiur. He might have done that in his day job, but that wouldn't have been written in the note. Right?
Vayan Chagai Vayomer.
Chagai says this was a metaphor. And he says, Kein ha-mazevich in egoiz el-fonayinu Hashem. That's how this people and this nation is in front of me, says Hashem. V'chein komasei v'hem. Likewise, everything they do, v'asher pivushem, whatever they makrev their tummy, says, now we have another big problem with Beis HaMikdash. The first problem was that they'd be dedicated to build the Beis HaMikdash or not. Now there's a deeper problem. Even now they are makrif things to Beis HaMikdash. They were makrif things before Sefer Chagai started. They built the Mizbeach years ago. They were makrif. Now they started building a little house. They started building a wooden house, even though they hadn't started building a stone house, a serious house yet. Says the problem is everything's tummy. Why is everything tummy? He doesn't explain very well. But what's the point? On the one hand, you're trying to have Kedusha. You're trying to bring Kedusha into your lives and bring a Beis HaMikdash, the Makor of Kedusha. On the other hand, you're full of Tuma. And the problem is, if you build a Makor of Kedusha without eliminating the Tuma, it doesn't work because you're just Makor of Tummy things in Beis HaMikdash. Again, I don't think he meant like technical Meis Sheretz, right? There's a metaphor. He means that they still had, right, intermarriage, they still had Chilul Shabbos, they still had, meaning they didn't purify themselves of all the foreign influences. And the only way to have a Beis HaMikdash that works is to purify yourself of Tumah, of anti-Torah influences. And that's the second challenge. It's not enough to build a building. You have to live up to the building. Of course, there's just one little piece, but that's also very relevant to the Hanukkah story, right? He's prophesying about, again, I don't mean to say he thought of Matzio ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he thought of the year, 186 BCE or whatever exactly it happened, etc. He was just thinking of what should happen next. He didn't know if next was next month or next was in a couple hundred years, right? You have to take the first step and not wait for Hashem to take the first step. You take the first step, then he'll back you up. And you have to remove yourself from the tummy, you have to purify yourself of the Hellenizing influence or the, in his days, the Persian influences, right? Of the foreign influences. And then it'll work. Right? Let's continue on the second column is the rest of the Chagai. Now pay attention from this day and on. Before you place stone on stone to build the Heikel of Hashem. Here's an interesting part. On the 24th of Kislev, he said, from this day is before you start laying the stones to build the Beis HaMikdash. One could easily make a diuk that then when do they start, meaning they had a wooden, they started building with wood, that we know they started building with wood in Elul, right, during Slichos time. But they hadn't yet gotten serious. They hadn't yet, that's the first step. First step, you build wood, and meanwhile, but you really have to build a stone building, that's a real Beis HaMikdash. They haven't yet started laying stones. When, maybe, did they start laying stones after? The next day. Now they haven't yet. The next day they will. After they started building the second Beis HaMikdash, not the wood, not the mizbeach, not the wood, but the actual building, mamish, a real building, a ritzini building, Maybe on Hanukkah. Maybe that's already or from the time of Haggai. Like, on one hand, he wasn't thinking about the Chashmonaim, but already he was talking about what's going to happen on Chafei Kislev. Chafei Kislev, you start building, what's going to happen? What does he say? Now, before you started, apparently they weren't dedicated enough. You know, they went, they got a few trees, cut down a few trees in the woods, built a little wooden shack, which is a good start, and then they gave up and said, we can't afford to do more than that. He says, that's not good enough. It's good to make the first step, but that's not enough. Hashem wants you to be moser nefesh, show your dedication a little more. Because now, you go to a pile of 20 bushels and you find it's only 10. And I don't think he means it magically disappears. He means like when you imagine it's 20, you get 10 because you still have economic crisis. You go to take 50 liters, obviously I'm just approximating, I'm just using modern day measurements, and it's only 20. He cases the machine of foam to your comb around it. And I have smitten you, I have punished you with crops being blown by the wind, and with crop disease, and with hail, on everything you try to do. You're not with me, Hashem. Meaning, you're still not with me. You're not willing to make the sacrifice and take that first step enough. So pay attention from this day on. From the 24th of Kislev, this is the day. Apparently, they were going to start building. The day when you set up the foundation stone. When you start building the foundation of the base of Hekdash, the Hekel of the building base of Hashem, pay attention. Ha'od Azer bin Gura is the grain still in the bins. And the grapes and figs and pomegranates and olives didn't yet grow. Meaning all you have to do is start build a proper base of Hekdash. And I know I've cursed you until now, but the trees are still there. They can still grow fruits tomorrow. You still have grain. That grain can still be blessed. Meaning, I'm ready to bless you. I'm just waiting for you to take the first step. And now it was the last day, but that wasn't the last Nevuah. Here's the last Nevuah. Hashem spoke again to Haggai the same day. He asked for Rachel Hashem. The more again on the Erev Chanukah. And Rosh Ravel Pachsi Udali Mar. Tells Ravel Norman the Gruda to say, Amimar Ishna Shemaimus Arts again. I'm going to shake heavens and earth. And I'll overturn the throne of empires. And I'll break the power of these kingdoms of the Goyim. And I'll overturn the chariot and its riders, the yard of Simroch, Behem, Ishmakar, Bechiv, and the horses and the horsemen will fall each by the sword of his colleague, meaning they'll just run around in the confusion and kill each other. I'll give you an amazing military victory. And that day I'll take you, I'll make you like a signet ring, something precious. Because I've chosen you. Okay, Hashem gives his last prophecy to Zechariah. He's going to literally, not just shake heaven and earth, literally overturn empires, beat kingdoms, beat big armies with horses and chariots, etc. When did any of this happen? None of it happened in the lifetime of Haggai. Haggai died a little bit of a frustrated person.
Not frustrated with Hashem, Chas v'Shalom.
Frustrated that Hashem doesn't lie. Hashem doesn't change his mind. Hashem's honest and trustworthy. Obviously, the people after the end of Haggai, what happens after Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel, the people didn't live up to it. They got lazy. They got intimidated. They got depressed. They stopped believing in themselves. Said Hashem's not with us. Haggai said Hashem was with us. He's not with us. Look how bad it is. Hashem's not with us. Haggai said Hashem's going to come through for us. You know what? We built the wood building. He didn't come through. We put one layer of stones, he didn't come through. We did a little more, he didn't come through. Right? They didn't have the patience. They didn't have the patience and the mesiras nefesh to really take that first step. And it didn't work out. And Haggai died frustrated, never having seen his prophecy be realized. But Hashem doesn't lie. Hashem just waited very, very patiently until someone, it got bad enough, and someone really got up and said, I'm going to be Moser Nefesh Lagamri. I'm going to take the first step. No matter how hard it is, I'm not going to wait for God to make it easy. God made it very hard, and that means that he wants me to get up and take the first step. And I'm going to remove all the Tumah. Tirus Mikdashecha. I'm going to get rid of the Hellenism. And when that happened, Hashem did exactly what Haggai said he would do. He overturned the armies of the empires and the kingdoms and gave us military victories and did exactly what he said he would do in Sefer Haggai. So what Sefer Haggai is about is the story of Hanukkah, which we just had to wait a little longer than Haggai might have thought we had to wait for. And the message is, two messages. The main message is, Hashem is with us. He's waiting for us to take the first step. If we wait for him to take the first step, we'll just, Judaism will just end. Or, okay, Hashem will have something clever up his sleeve, but, you know, as far as we're concerned, our Judaism is gone. Hashem wants us to take the first step, and then he'll come through big time. But we have to be really Moser Nefesh. And that's exactly what they did. They remembered Chagai's Nevuah. And B, you want the Kedusha, you can't have the Kedusha with the Tumah. The Kedusha means choosing. Mikdash or Hellenism. Tumah or Kedusha. And if you want the Kedusha, you have to get rid of the Tumah. And that's exactly the two lessons that the Chashmonaim learned. And that's why this Nevuah came through. And it came through for them. And Hashem literally overturned heaven and earth. And overturned the armies of mighty empires. Okay, that's the first Nevuah of Hanukkah. Now I just want to mention the second Nevi who lived in that time. And that's also the Vuladoros, right? I mean, it's not just about Hanukkah. It's about Avodas Hashem. It's about everything. Right? It's about what Hashem wants for us in this world. These are the messages of what Hashem wants us to accomplish. I mean, what Hashem wants in this world. Does he want us to learn get up in the morning, learn tefillin, learn Torah in the daily routine? I mean, in history, what does Hashem want us to do? And here it is. Here's the recipe of what he wants us to do. And it worked when they finally did it right. Okay, the next Navi I want to mention is Zechariah. Zechariah is a long sefer. It has a lot of prophecies, and a lot of them are not directly relevant to Chanukah. I mean, he talks about a lot of different things, not only about the Beis HaMikdash, not only about Hanukkah HaMizbeach, the Beis HaMikdash, but there's one Nevuah, which is most directly about Chanukah, which we're all familiar with, although sometimes we don't understand properly, which is this week's Haftorah. The Torah for Shabbos Chanukah is Zechariah Per Gimel Pasuk Yudalid Ranivas Simchi Bas Siyom Ki Yinovav Shachan Tzochet Lo Mashem. I think we actually lean it twice every year. Shabbos Chanukah and with Baloscha, Baloscha Saneros, right? Same idea, right? Rabban Baloscha says Chanukah. So what does it say here? Let's see how well we understand it. I'm going to run through the first part. Because the first part is not as directly relevant. Roni to simply Basion, be joyous. Basion means Jerusalem, the Jewish people. Ki him yivav shachat b'sof no Hashem. My Shechina will be with you. Okay, that's Chanukah related. V'nil v'goyim arvel Hashem v'yimol. Many goyim will come join Hashem on that day when you have your victory. V'hayli la'am, they'll join the Jewish people. Shachat b'sofeif, and my Shechina will rest with you. V'yodak, Hashem tzokosh v'chani elayim. Here the Navi saying, you'll know that Hashem sent me to you, that I'm a real Navi, that I'm a true Navi. V'nachal Hashem tzidach v'kol emas. Hashem will give Yehuda his inheritance in Eretz HaKodesh, in Israel, Bachar Yerushalayim, and Hashem will choose Yerushalayim and make it great again. Has kol b'sarim de Hashem, all flesh, all humanity, the whole world quiet in front of Hashem, kinei or mimon kadsho, because it's like the image of a lion, right? He has awakened from his holy den, meaning the lion's coming out of his den, everyone watch out. Hashem's coming to save the Jewish people. V'yar enyis Yoshua kohen gadol, but how is Hashem going to save the Jewish people? Now, the Hashem showed, or really perhaps Hashem said the Malach, to show Zechariah a vision, a prophetic vision. He saw Yeshua coming down. He didn't actually see. I mean, this was his Nevuah. Omei v'nei Malachim, standing in front of a Malach, v'asotan omei v'nei Malachim, and the Satan was standing on his right to accuse him. Satan means, in Tanakh, Satan does not mean what we usually use it to mean, you know, Satan, the source of all the four forces of evil, etc. Satan means what it means here and what it means in Eov. It means the accusing angel, right? Like there's a Bez Din Shamala, and Hashem's the judge, and there's a prosecutor and a defendant. Satan is the prosecuting angel, right? That's what it literally means. Satan is to accuse someone, to make an accusation against someone. So the Satan is accusing Yoshua, claiming God of wrongdoing. By Yomer, and the Gemara even says it's because of the intermarriage and assimilation in his family. By Yomer Hashem al Satan, Yigarach Hashem b'chasadam. And Hashem says, no. Hashem says, I am rebuking you, Satan. The Yigar Hashem b'cha. Hashem speaks of himself in third person because that's a royal way to speak. And Hashem rebukes you, Habochim Yerushalayim, meaning Hashem, who chooses Yerushalayim, rebukes the Satan. Basically, Hashem shuts the mouth of the prosecutor. Hello, is it Udmut Salmi'esh? Because Yoshua is an Udmut Salmi'esh, and Ud is a wooden spit. What happens if there's a wooden spit is great for roasting things in a fire? What if there's too big of a fire? Then it gets burned. But he's a stick saved from the fire, meaning he's a very precious, a lot of Jews were killed, a lot of Jews disappeared in Golos Babel, a lot of Jews didn't come back, and he's like the one very, very chashuv stick that I plucked out of the fire and saved, and therefore I don't want the Satan to accuse him. But Yoshua is wearing dirty clothes. The only claim Allah standing in front of the Malach. Obviously, the dirty clothes represent the spiritual impurities. What?
The pillar of the people.
Pashtus of the people, like Gemara says, even his own kids were intermarried. Vayad vayomer l'dim for nothing more. And Hashem spoke and said to all the angels standing in front, and said, Hashir of a good man, assuming your love, take off his dirty clothes. Hashem said to Yeshua, look, I've taken your sins off you. Meaning, I'm helping to be retiree from your sins. And I'm clothing you with machlotzos, is some sort of clean, fancy clothing. It's not the first argument why. But Omar Yassin Sinat Torah will show, and Zechariah says, he sees an ace rotzo, let them put a clean sanif, mitznefet, right, like the hat of the Kohanim, on his head. By Yassin Sinat Torah will show, and the angels put the sanif, the hor, the clean sanif on his head, and clothed him in the clothing, Malach Hashem made, and then the angel Hashem was standing there. By God, Malach Hashem Yisholim Mor, and the Malach Hashem warned Yoshua and told him, call Hashem Tzmakov, this is what Hashem says, if you walk in my ways and keep my and keep my commands, the government of the Nisbeis, and you run my house properly, meaning you run the base of Ektosh Al Pi Allah, the government of Shmar Tzei Raya, and guard the courtyards to keep it clean of impurities, to keep it proper Torah place. I'll give you access to walk between these standing angels, meaning you can be with the Malachim if you're a good Kohen Gadol and you run the base of Mikdash and Kedusha of the Torah. Shmanu Yoshua ben Gadol. Listen, Yoshua ben Gadol. Atav v'ri echam dilu Yoshua l'fanecha. You and your colleagues who sit before you, min talidim ki anshim ofeshima. You are wondrous people. They are wondrous people. Ki mimibi yisid b'tzemach. I'm bringing my servant Tzemach, means the growing shoot of the Geula. I'm bringing the Mashiach. I'm going to bring a savior. I'm going to bring a Goel. Ki neo evan Yoshua nesach le Yoshua. This is a very difficult pasuk. We're not going to understand it. The stone I put before Yeshua, the Mefarshim argued, referring to the plumb line, which Yeshua was the architect used to build the Beis HaMikdash, or referring to a foundation stone, or maybe a keystone, some stone that had to build the Beis HaMikdash, 11 Achashim Ayinayim, it had seven eyes, or seven facets, or seven special things on it, which represents, like, the seven leaders who were with Yeshua. Hinim Fateh B'tukar will engrave it, No Mashem Tzvokosh Hashem, U'mashtiyas Avon Arsar Yomachad. And I will wipe away all the Averos of Eretz Yisrael in one day. Somebody's saying, building the Beis HaMikdash, get rid of Averos, removing Torah from the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol's in charge. Obviously reminiscent to us of the Chanukah story, right? They did chew from their Averos, they got rid of the Hellenism, and the Kohanim properly ruled the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem says, in that day, when you'll be safe from your enemies, each person will invite their friend under their fig tree and under their grapevine, meaning you'll have peace and prosperity and serenity. Okay, here's the Ikra part, Perk Dalet. Right? The Malach was talking to me, says Zechariah, woke me up like someone's woken up from sleep, and he startled me as if I was startled in the middle of my sleep, and showed me something surprising. He says, what do you see? Vomar said, I see a pure gold menorah, just like the one they said in Dush. Vigulal Roshah, and there's a bowl on top of it. Vishivani Hotel Lehel, the seven lamps are on the menorah. Remember, Ner in Chazal and in Tanakh doesn't mean what we call a candle. It means a bowl with oil and ointment. That's a Ner, they use candles. So it means there are seven bowls on the menorah, like it's like a bush. Shivav Shavam Tzarkos, there are seven pipes, Lani Rosh Hashar Roshah, for the lamps that are on top of the menorah. There's a beautiful golden menorah, seven lamps on it, seven pipes, one for each of the lamps. What was the function of the pipes? What was the point of the pipes? To fill the lamps, right? I mean, the oil flowed through the pipes into the lamps. Menastam, where did the oil go into the pipes from? What else did we see in this pasuk? From the, where did the pipes start? They ended in the lamps, where did they start? In the bowl, right? Gula Roshah. It was a big bowl. The bowl was, you know, like those fancy things people have for Kiddush. Right? The bowl had seven pipes coming out, which flowed the oil into the seven lamps of the menorah. Okay, Pesader. There were two olive trees next to it. Echad min ha'gula v'echad tzvul. One to the right of the bowl and one to the left. What were the olive trees doing there? It's not 100% clear yet why there were two olive trees next to it. Maybe just symbolic. We're not sure yet. Va'an va'omar el malach ador b'limor. And, okay, I'm going to cheat a little. Do you mind if I cheat? Just skip for a second to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Va'an va'omar elav. Mashne azeksimayule. Al yeminam norel smola. I said to the angel, said Zechariah, what are these two olive trees on the right of the menorah and on the left? Va'an shenis v'omar elav. And I said again, I spoke again and said to him, Mashne Shibale Hazetim, what are the two olive branches? Asher Biyad Shnei Tzantaros HaZahav, which are by the two golden spouts, Hamrikim Aleihem HaZahav, which pour from on them the gold. What does gold mean? What kind of gold is being poured? What's gold color? Olive oil is gold colored, right? Meaning, apparently, let's get the full picture. There is a menorah with seven lamps, just like the Beis HaMikdash. Unlike the Beis HaMikdash, there were seven pipes going into the seven lamps from a bowl. Okay, but how did the oil get into the bowl? So he says, there are two olive branches next to it with two spouts that poured, the spouts poured the oil, mistama, the two spouts poured the oil, put two and two together into the bowl, and the seven pipes went from the bowl on the two sides of the bowl, not two spouts, one olive branch on the left, one on the right. So they had two spouts that poured the oil into the bowl, and from the bowl, seven pipes that poured it into the menorah. Now, let's just think for a second. What is the nevuah that he's seeing here? What's he seeing here? What's happened in this menorah that's very strange that doesn't usually happen in a regular menorah? In a regular menorah, how does the oil get there? You put the oil in. In this menorah, how does the oil get there? And by its own, it somehow automatically comes there through a miracle. Right? Like, it's just, here's an olive tree, and through a miracle, the oil just gets poured into two spouts, into a bowl, and into seven pipes into the menorah. Basically, what he saw here was a nice pach hashemen. I don't mean detail to detail. But what did he see here? He saw a miracle that no one put oil in the menorah, and Hashem put oil in the menorah, and it burned anyway. Hashem made the oil go into the menorah miraculously, and it burned without anyone putting in oil. If that doesn't sound familiar to us, then we need to repeat kindergarten. Right? He saw a vision of a miraculously burning menorah that burned without humans having enough oil to put in. So let's go back to where we left off. And I spoke and I said to the Malach, who was speaking to me, and I said, what are these, sir? And the Malach was talking to me, says, don't you know what this means? Don't you know what it means that the menorah, somehow the olive oil goes in and it burns by itself and you don't have to put in oil? And I said, no, sir. I'm not sure what that means. I mean, he lived a long time ago, before kindergarten. Before the story of Hanukkah. Right? So he spoke and said to me, Limor, Zed Varshem's Rabbi Limor. This session's message to the leader of the Jewish people, to Zerubbabel. What does this mean? Lo b'chayev lo b'choach ki imbaruchi amar Hashem tzvakos. What does it mean that the menorah burns? Hashem puts oil in the menorah, makes it burn, and you don't have to put in oil? That means how much you have is not important, but what Hashem does is important. Lo b'chayev lo b'choach, not how rich you are or how many or how many soldiers you have. It's not how strong you are. That doesn't determine history. History is not won by the most powerful. Ki imbaruchi amar Hashem tzvakos. History is won. In the day-by-day level, things are very complex. But in the end, history is not won by the most powerful. History is won by those who have the spirit of Hashem in them. History, I mean, that's true, right? Meaning, we're the Greeks, right? We're the Greeks, we're the Romans, right? And who's left? The Jews. Okay, and a few people who picked up half the message of Judaism and made their own religions to try and cop a little bit of the Jewish idea of Avodas Hashem. The ultimately, Chayil and Koach, it lasts for a few weeks, for a few months, for a few decades, you know, maybe a century or two. But who really wins? Whoever has Ruach Hashem. Miatohar Gadol Tvei Zerubbabel Mishor. Even if there's a big mountain in front of the Zerubbabel, in front of the Jewish people, it'll be like a plane. The biggest obstacles Hashem will zap away. The Hotzias Evan Arosha will bring out the Evan Arosha. Probably means a foundation stone for building Beis HaMikdash. Tishuos Chen Chenla with cries of grace, grace. Like with cries of celebration. That's the end of the Torah. Just like, since you don't look something later, sometimes you don't cop the whole story. But basically, what Hashem shows Zechariah. If Haggai heard the whole part of Alamisim, Tzadikim, right, Rabbi Yad Ma'atim, Rishon Yad Tzadikim, Yivor Yad Chaloshim, Tmei Yad Tohorim, what about the part about Mahavdik Ner Shal Chanukah? Zechariah had that nevuah, right? Haggai had the nevuah of the military victory and the rededication of Beis HaMikdash, and Zechariah had the nevuah of the Nespach Hashem, and the Maral famously asks, why celebrate the Nespach Hashem? And it's not so important. What's important was the military victory. What's important was conquering and rededicating the Beis HaMikdash. The fact that the Ner was burned for 8 days instead of one day, no, it's cute, but that's not worthy of celebrating. So Maral writes in Pirshan Agadah and Shabbos, he says, we're not celebrating the Nespach Hashem. The Nespach Hashem is what proves the Nespach Hashem is not important for itself. It's only Nigloy Milsa. It's important because it proves what the whole story is about. Because a secular person could come and say, you know what the story's about? The Jews like their temple. They really love their temple, so they cleaned it up a little. How did they beat the Greek army? They had good guerrilla warfare tactics. They knew the terrain. They, you know, a secular person could come and give all kinds of secularizing explanations to the Hanukkah story. Says Hashem, no, I'm going to give you a miracle of the oil. That, says the Maharal, it's not important to the oil burn. It's important to the Goyim Milsa that the whole thing was an Eis Pach Hashem. That the whole story was an Eis Pach Hashem. We had enough oil, we had enough soldiers and weapons and strength to fight one half a battle for 3 seconds and lose. But Hashem made it go on and burn stronger and stronger until we beat the whole Greek army, until we achieved our independence and rededicated the Beis HaMikdash. And where did the Maharal get this from? He got it from Zechariah. Hashem sold Zechariah in the Eis Pach Hashem, and Zechariah says, what does it mean? Mao says, you don't know what it means? No, I'm not sure. Please tell me what it means. It means that whoever's strongest doesn't win. Whoever has Hashem on their side wins. And that's exactly what the Maharal says is the meaning of the Neros of is the meaning of the Neros of Hanukkah. There's more to say, but our time is up. I'll just point out, very fascinating. So all of Hanukkah is predicted right there by Chagai and Zechariah, all the different studim, and even the Maharal figured this out. Also, Vistama, he knew Zechariah better than we do. The meaning, the relationship between the Neis Pach HaShemen and the military victory is right there in Zechariah. The Neis Pach HaShemen is important because that's the whole point of the military victory. That's the symbol of the military victory. Hashem said, in case you didn't ha that this is what Zechariah was talking about, here is exactly what Zechariah saw in his vision, so you'll understand that if you want to know what just happened, look in Zechariah and they'll tell you what just happened. What just happened is lo b'chayev lo b'koach ki im beruchi. What's fascinating, of course, is that even Bizman Azeh, anyone recognize the menorah with two olive branches next to it? Right? That, not just the Knesset, that's the symbol of Midianat Yisrael. Somehow, when they came here with this crazy, ridiculous idea, more ridiculous than the Chashmonaim, more ridiculous than building the second Beis HaMikdash, that like we would like make a country here and a state and have a Jewish state, and how many people, we have more enemies now than we had in the days of Chashmonaim. They were more powerful than the Greeks. They were worse than the time of Shivat Zion. How are you talking? Someone has such a ridiculous, stupid idea that we're going to make our state and we're going to be okay and our enemies aren't going to kill us in 3 seconds flat. I mean, you know what it was like in 1948? Right? There's that, like, I don't know, we had 3 planes, then a guy named Mickey came from America and brought us another 2 or something. Someone knows the story about this. Mickey. He was very important. Mickey, like, changed everything. Like, he, like, knew how to fly a plane and maybe got another one from someplace. I'm saying that's Igloi Milsa. I don't know the story, but that's Igloi Milsa as to whatever happened. That's Igloi Milsa, wherever you're holding. So how did anyone have a Havmin it was going to work? The answer is the only way they had a Havmin it was work is because they knew the Nebuah of Zechariah. Right? It's because of the menorah with the 2 olive branches. Because even if we don't have oil for the menorah, Hashem will put oil in the menorah. Even if we don't have any power, Hashem has all the power in the world. And even if we don't have Chayil and Koach, if we really believe in Hashem, and we really believe that Hashem believes in the Jewish people, then we can win even against all the odds that if it happened once, it can happen again. And crazily enough, it actually worked. And now, I guess it's just our job to chazer all of Sefer Chagai and make sure to keep taking it to the next step and the next step and the next step until we reach the real Gula.